Hi, this is Matt Maser, Patreon supporter. This episode of IVND is brought to you by supporters like me.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I'm joined by the other two hosts of this podcast through a Google Plus Hangout.
Hi, it's Andy.
And this is Kurt.
We use Google Plus so that we can stream these episodes live. So on Sunday evenings, if you go to ivmv.com/live at around 8:30 p.m. Central, you'll be able to watch it. And there is also a chat there to log into. So you can talk with other people that are watching. If you have an iOS device and you have not checked out our app yet, it's a free download. And if you go, you can find it in the app store, or if you go to ivmv.com/iOS, it will take you to the app download. You can listen to our episodes. You can get to our Facebook and Twitter that way. You can email us directly in the app. And you can also leave us a voicemail. We've gotten a few voicemails, and I'm going to include one at the very end of the show after the music and everything. And I think you're going to like it. And I think it is a challenge to everyone to leave us voicemails that make me giggle when I receive them during the day. Also, if you've not done it yet, you can really help us out by taking 30 seconds to fill out our listener survey. Go to ivnv.com/survey. Literally, it's going to take you 30 seconds. If you know who you are, then it will take you 30 seconds. If you have questions about your age, things like that, then it might take you a little bit longer, but I think you'll still get through it under a minute. But and I think if about 50 more people do it right now, then I will not bring it up on upcoming episodes. So that's my deal. That's my deal for you. I think it's a good deal.
It's not bad.
Yeah. So if you're just finding our show, this is one of two podcasts under the IVMV umbrella. There's also the Daily Northside Recap. That's a short four, five, 6 minute daily show that comes out every weekday morning. In that podcast, I recap the previous day's games in the Cubs organization from the Cubs down to South Bend. And I've received a lot of good feedback about that podcast. It obviously just started up this season. So I want to, you know, thank all of you that have told me that you enjoy it. I really appreciate that. And it's been a bit of an adjustment to do these things every night. But it's been fun. And it helps knowing that you all are listening to it and enjoying it. That makes it sound like I don't enjoy doing it. I do enjoy doing it. I really do. It's really, a lot of the feedback that I've gotten from people is how much more they know, I guess how much more informed they are about the minor leagues and some of the prospects and stuff. And honestly, it's like, that's one of the reasons that I really enjoy doing it, is that suddenly I'm paying attention to Jake Stinnett and Dory Torres and, you know, and learning how to pronounce names, or trying to learn how to pronounce names of players that I've never heard their name pronounced before. But it's been fun. So I want to thank everybody that's left reviews for that podcast on iTunes, or emailed me, or tweeted at me and stuff. I really appreciate it. So after our last episode, the Cubs split the two remaining games with the Cardinals, and then they went to Milwaukee. They won Friday night's game, but got destroyed Saturday, and then dropped Sunday's game in the 11th. On the midweek episode, Andy, you and I kind of commented on those first few games of the Cardinals series and how things went. And I think if you're listening to this podcast, if you've been listening for a while, you're probably recognizing how much fun we're having talking about the major league team. You know, like, we have barely mentioned prospects in the minors this year. And I love that. I love that we don't have to talk about that stuff. I'm assuming you guys are on the same page as me.
there was silence, so you were concerned.
I know.
No, for sure. I'm glad I don't have to talk about, you know, Iowa and you know, Tennessee. So yeah, I'm glad. Hopefully though, the prospects keep coming, but yeah, it's nice to talk about real baseball.
Yes.
You know, Major League Baseball. I shouldn't say real baseball. All of the rest is real baseball, but you know, this is where it counts.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I want to start this discussion on this episode with something that I heard on Effectively Wild podcast, or the Effectively Wild podcast, however you want to word that. And it was something that they kind of said in passing, and I'm curious what you guys think. They were talking about the Astros and wondering whether or not the Astros can kind of sustain their early season success throughout this season. And I think it was Sam. He said, the Cubs are bulletproof. The Astros are a team in a pretty good spot. So I'm driving, and I kind of did like a double take. You know, I was like, did I hear what I think I just heard? So I had to like rewind it to see if I heard it right. I did. So I'm kind of curious what you guys think about some of these strong statements being thrown around about the Cubs. And in any way, do you feel that the Cubs are bulletproof?
No way. I mean, it certainly seems premature. And you guys touched on this in, midweek, but if anybody's bulletproof, it seems to be the Cardinals. You know, that you lose Wainwright and they still can't lose games. So, I mean, I think that that seems to be the definition of bulletproof to me. But, yeah, the Cubs are better. But bulletproof seems to be taking it a little too far to me. I mean, they're 500 now. And we talked about how we knew the struggle would come. They started hot. But yeah, I don't know. Bulletproof seems really strong.
I'm just like struggling with using that as an adjective applied to, I don't know. Yeah. The Cubs and even just baseball teams in general, to say that a team is bulletproof. What does that mean? Like they're a surefire.
I don't know. And that's
playoff
what
team.
Yeah.
Well, I think the bullpen injuries illustrate that fact pretty clearly that they're not. I mean, they're rolling along pretty good. The bullpen was one of the highlights early on, and then Grimm and Ramirez go down, and it's like, uh-oh.
Right.
So, yeah, that, you know.
Right, I think you're right. No team is bulletproof. I mean, going into the season, if any team was bulletproof, you would have thought it was like the Nationals, probably, you know. So
I'm surprised to see a guy only on the 15-day DL after taking a gunshot wound.
What?
Because he's not bulletproof. That's what I'm saying.
Oh. Oh, boy. That one fell short, Andy.
Well, all right. Well, I'll try again.
Yeah, I was going to say try again. Yeah, I don't think the Cubs are bulletproof. And I would think, like, I think if I wouldn't have been listening to that conversation, I would have just heard someone say, oh, the Cubs are bulletproof. I'm thinking, oh yeah, in the next 5 years, yeah, the Cubs probably are bulletproof. You know, I fully expect them to be in the playoffs in the next 5 years. And if you can get in the playoffs, anything can happen. So I would have thought that's kind of what they were talking about. Like, okay, where the Cubs are, how they're set up right now, that's bulletproof. But I mean, they were talking about whether or not the Astros had a shot this year, if it was sustainable this year. And So I don't know. It really, and what I guess it makes me excited and it makes me nervous. I don't want to hear that kind of stuff from ESPN, but it really does excite me to hear it coming from smart baseball people, you know, people that I really respect. And it makes me nervous because that's pressure. And
well, yeah, I mean, don't you think it's kind of a negative thing because it's now you have all these people saying that, like, decrying the Cubs play and talking about how much they suck because it's because of language like that, that people's expectations get
right.
You know, inflated.
Yeah. Although I think most people that, I think most people that would listen to Effectively Wild probably are not easily excitable or maybe a little bit more grounded than, like, you know, if that was on like ESPN or something like that, like something a little more available to the masses, I guess. But really, you know what? I mean, like being in a position where there's pressure, that's what we want. you know, I think we're just not used to it. And as Cubs fans, we're really guarded about expectations and pressure and stuff like that. But the fact that this, like, kind of these things are being thrown around, and, you know, I think it's just a sign that we are in a good spot. I guess I'll look at it.
That prediction was maybe a little bit longer term. I didn't actually hear that episode, but bigger term situation, they look pretty bulletproof given the young talent they have, but I don't know.
Yeah. I was just kind of curious what you guys thought. I mean, I thought it was, I definitely did a double take on my way to work. Like, wait a minute, did he just say the Cubs are bulletproof? So
maybe he was being totally sarcastic.
I don't think so. There was no high-pitched giggle around it anywhere, so I don't know. It was this last week. I think it was just this last week. I had to stop and think about it for a second, that Castro had his 5-year anniversary of his MLB debut. I think it was just a number of days ago. So in a week he had that, and then he also provided us with the most delightfully entertaining play in his entire career that I still cannot stop watching. I pretty much show it to anybody I see. Hey, have you seen this yet?
Yeah, I totally showed it to a guy on Friday too. And I doubt, you know, considering the sense of humor that our listeners have, that and just how plugged in they are, that there probably isn't really anyone out there that hasn't seen this play. But
I love it. I was just gonna say I absolutely love the fact that play happened while we were recording. And we got a lot of feedback too of people that said they really enjoyed our reactions to it.
I would second that, because I had seen the play and then listened to the midweek episode, and so to know what happened and hear your reaction was pretty sweet. And then also to have Andy have not seen it yet, and Corey just been like, "Oh, that was so awesome." And then Andy's like, "Wait, you know, Andy didn't quite know what to expect." And then Andy gets to chime in later. That was some pretty fantastic listening.
I just kind of underestimated how funny it was. I just thought Corey was kind of blowing it out of proportion a little bit,
as I've known to do in the past.
There's no way to describe that in words where someone else would actually believe what happened. And then
it looked like
Rizzo to react that way. Like, what was that?
Yeah, that was just that. Yeah, he kind of represented every man there as far as his reaction. But it reminded me of synchronized swimming on the baseball field. Because Castro just totally mirrored Bryant's movements as he fielded the ground ball and threw it over to Rizzo. But Madden was quoted, I was kind of wondering what Madden's take was going to be on it. Madden was quoted as saying, "It was very entertaining. It does indicate that we're playing a game in a manner where we're not uptight, which I really prefer. We're just nice and loose and play the game." But still, at the same time, a lot of people have taken Starlin to task for not being focused and for displaying just the propensity to get distracted on the field. And they see things like that as not being a good thing. But I kind of tend to side with Madden on this. But still, at the same time, I mean, recently he had a grounder go through his legs. So I think you got to be a little bit careful on saying, like, you want Starlin Castro to just be nice and loose all the time, I think. But
yeah, what do you guys think? Well, I mean, remember before the season started, I think Madden said something about how, didn't he say something about, like, the pleasure of the game should, or the pressure of the game should not outweigh the pleasure of the game or something?
Pleasure.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I Castro was anything but distracted on that play. he was taking the opportunity to get a little extra practice and work on his footwork a little bit. I love it too, that when the play was done, Castro looked like it was no big deal. Like, acted like, what was wrong with that?
You know, like, that's what I think. Like, do you think it was totally spontaneous, or like he had planned this? Like I'm going to do this on the next.
No idea.
The next time the third baseman has to come across the field and get in front of me, I'm going to do this.
But I have no idea who I cannot begin to predict what goes through Starlin Castro's head.
Well, you can begin to predict because Corey and I spent quite a long time looking at his Instagram feed this past weekend.
And I still have no idea what's going through his head.
All right. So he's inscrutable. Starlin Castro, who can know what the inner workings of his mind
are? Well, I guess the good thing about having 5 years of Castro is that we don't have, it's not small sample size anymore. We know what we got. I mean, so this happens, but the reality is this is kind of who he is. He's a little oddball, but he's a good baseball player. You know, he's not going to be the best defensive player, but he's not bad. So,
well, I'm glad you brought that up because I did a little bit of research along with Corey into how he's done over the 5 years that he's been with the Cubs, and you know, of course, we know he's a 3-time All-Star. I mean, so that says something, but from 1961 to the present,
that's just the fans.
Yeah, well, yeah. So let me give you some stats then. From 1961 to the present, he has the most hits of any shortstop in the first 5 years of his career at 846. He also does have the third most plate appearances among shortstops, but still really impressive. Some other categories: he's the third most doubles at 163. His batting average over that span, he's 16th and 13th in RBI. He is third in strikeouts, but
and he's high in triples too, right?
Since 61, he's 16th in triples with 29. Anyway, I mean, he's been one of the best on the field among shortstops in their first 5 years of their career. And so, something to kind of highlight. Just how fortunate the Cubs are to have him. His salary, he's on an 8-year contract that's valued at $60.57 million. The Cubs have a team option for 2020 that they can exercise that will cost them $16 million if they do exercise that. And just for comparison's sake, Elvis Andrus he's a shortstop for the Rangers. He has an 8-year, $118 million contract. And he is a Boras client, B-O-R-A, $$ client. but the Cubs have a great, you know, he has a really team-friendly contract for the caliber of player that he is.
Yeah, do you guys kind of feel that the fans take Castro for granted?
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely do.
Yeah, me too. I don't understand.
I know I've mentioned this before, but we talk about prospects, all, you know, the next guy, and like prospects don't pan out, but Castro actually panned out. And I think sometimes people expect high level prospects to be Hall of Fame level. But really, like a really good everyday player is a really great prospect. And that's what Castro turned out to be. So in that regard, like he's a prospect who worked out. So I don't know how you can be too upset with that.
Well, it's kind of crazy to think about. Okay, so what? He was 20 when he got called up, I think. And he got called up. So he got called up 5 years ago this time of the year and got called up from Tennessee. He never played in Iowa.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine right now them calling someone up from Tennessee that, you know, has been there like a month.
Vogelbach.
Right.
Well, not only did he get called up
or Schwarber
from AA, he then proceeded to hit 300 right. for the rest of that season.
Yeah.
You know,
at the shortstop position too.
Right. Then we know that the next season he went on to have an all-star worthy campaign, in which he hit 207 hits in that season.
Yeah, and he's going to hit 1,000 before, presumably before this season's over. So, yeah, it's hard to at least from the standpoint of like Castro being a good or not good player, you can't argue that he isn't. You can't argue that maybe he's not the right fit or maybe he's a little aloof and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is, he's a really good baseball player that costs almost nothing, like Candy pointed out, for his caliber. And I don't know. So I get a little frustrated with the people who get down on him.
Yeah, I understand that he can be frustrating and you know, mainly because of his play in the field, But as far as his playing the field goals, I think he's getting better, and he'll continue to get better as this team starts gelling together. But I think this is what's happening with Castro now. He's frustrated people at different points, and now every mistake, he's like so hyper analyzed by people. You know, they're watching him so closely that if he makes an error, you know, like he kind of airmailed that throw into the dugout on Saturday night's game. He probably should have held on to it or whatever. The fielders make those kinds of mistakes, and all the mistakes that he makes, all fielders make those things. But all it takes is like one error, and it's like, oh, there's Castro, you know, oh, you know, so frustrating. And I like Castro so much. I think he's fantastic.
He's your favorite player now that he did that whatever that was. I don't know what we call that.
Well, and think about this, like he's making $6 million this year. He $7 million next year, $9 million in 2017, and $10 million in 2018. So it's gonna be 2018 by the time he gets up to Miguel Montero money.
Yeah, that is absolutely crazy.
Right.
So like $6 million would be like, weren't they signing like Marlon Byrd to that 1 year $5 million type?
They were making more. Like think about Carlos Pena made $10 million for a year.
Right.
Guys like that, you know, hitting 200 with a little bit of power, making $10 million. I mean, that's like
your Fowler makes 9.5.
That's like your fifth starter, the ones they were signing off the scrap heap.
Right. So
money. I mean,
yeah,
Yoshi
right.
Wada is making $4 million to play in Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. So he's making like a third less than Fowler. That's crazy. He's so freaking good. And, I don't know. I'm so glad the Cubs have him.
Yeah, me too.
The one thing that does concern me this season about Castro is that he's hitting a lot more ground balls. Last year, his ground ball rate was 45%. This year, it's 63.5%. So that's an 18% jump. His line drive rate has dropped 9%. He's seeing a lot more sliders, and a positive is that he's still batting. I mean, before today's game, I looked, he was batting .294, but he's not driving the ball. He only has one double this year. And he had pretty much between 30 and 36, you know, every season during his career so far.
It's worth noting he has had 3 homers this year, if you want to talk about driving the ball, but in the past 10 games, like he has hit kind of a cold streak. He's only hitting .200 in the past 10 games. So, you know, I mean, if guys are throwing in more sliders and they're, you know, the approach has changed as far as how to attack him this season, we should hopefully see him begin to adjust and, you know, try to hit some balls the other way. And
he has been. Right. I mean, we have seen him go the other way. But, yeah, it was just such a I don't know, since we were talking about him yesterday, Andy, when you were out here, I kind of just was digging into his numbers a little bit more, and that ground ball rate thing just kind of jumped out at me.
Yeah.
That 18% jump. But I don't know. I still like him so much. I love his antics on the field. So, let's talk about Jake Arrieta. He has definitely not looked like the Jake Arrieta we know and love these last few starts. So in his last two starts, he has pitched in he's pitched in 10 and one thirds innings. He's given up 9 runs in those 10 innings on 16 hits. Both resulted in losses. He hasn't gone deep into the games at all. He went 5 innings in one game, 5 and a thirds innings in the other. After those two games, I was pretty worried, and I was thinking, oh, great. So, okay, this is the real Arrieta. Great. But I don't think that's true. And I think he's really just had 2 unlucky games in a row. And if you're nervous about Arrieta, my goal right here is to calm your nerves. Are either of you nervous about Arrieta? Tell me that you are.
I'm not nervous about him, but I can see why it's easy for people to get nervous about him just because of how excellent and lights out he was
right
for long stretches last season. And so we got really used to that, you know, and So some of his performances this year have been a little bit startling if you put them in the context of what we've seen from him as a Cub.
I would say, no, I'm not worried yet, because we've seen this year that performance slash, I mean, there, I forget which game it was, but there was a game where he was totally lights out. So we've at least seen it this year. So I'm not worried yet.
Yeah.
Sorry, Corey. I know that doesn't help your argument.
Well, I just wanted to know if, like, I thought maybe I could kind of just use you guys as like a test audience or something to see if I'm able to convince you. So So in those two games, he had a strikeout rate of 10.8 strikeouts per nine innings in the game against the Brewers, and then 11.81 strikeouts per nine in the loss to the Cardinals. Both of those games are his best totals per, individual game totals of the season. And that's only with going like, you know, five innings, five and a thirds innings. Last season, his average was just over 9.5. The game against the Brewers, his walk per nine was 1.8. And in the Cardinals game, it was 1.69. That's below his season average this year and last year. So these two quote unquote bad games, he was striking guys out and he wasn't walking them. Okay, so what went wrong? BABIP went wrong. So BABIP measures the batting average of balls in play. So it takes out strikeouts, walks, homers. The average BABIP is around 300 for a pitcher. Arrieta's BABIP in the Brewers game, 429. And in the Cardinals game, 529. So I'm just going to say that those were two crazy unlucky games. His BABIP last year, to put that into context, I guess, his BABIP last year was 274. So, wow. Granted, you know, looking at the BABIP for any stat with a game, that's like an absolutely crazy small sample size. But those are two games where, you know, if you just looked at the numbers and, you know, him giving up five runs or whatever it was, you know, in those games, you're thinking, oh man, he's totally lost it. But when I looked at it and I was like, well, he's still striking people out. He's still not walking people. So what happened? I think it was just the Brewers and the Cardinals kind of got lucky on him. And so I don't know. I guess that kind of like calmed my nerves about Arrieta, because I honestly was a little bit concerned, because with players like him, where it's like they exceed your expectations significantly. And then, you know, like when the Cubs signed Arrieta, I don't think we really thought that this is what we were going to get. You know, like I don't think 2014 Arrieta was what we thought Arrieta was going to be. And so I think it's easy to after a couple of bad starts to kind of think, oh no, here we go. But I don't know. Did I convince? Did I make you feel any better?
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I mean, like you're sort of tying the new analysis to the old analysis and basically saying like his stuff is still there. Like, you know, the old school guys used to talk about stuff. Like it's still there. He's striking out guys. The movement's still there, but he got a little unlucky. I think that helps.
Yeah, I think it'll be good to see things level out. His next start is Tuesday at Wrigley, and that's going to be a really fun game too, because it's Noah Syndergaard's MLB debut. So that should be a little bit of excitement.
Game is that?
That's Tuesday night.
Okay. Tuesday. And by the way, like left field bleachers are supposed to be open too.
Right. Yeah.
Am I correct?
That's right. So I think there's going to be some, it's kind of cool that they're heading into this series with the Mets with the top of the rotation in order. You know, I think it really bugged me with that Cardinals series with the first two games being the bottom of our rotation.
Yeah, that was frustrating.
So, but I don't know. That's my take on Arrieta. I wouldn't get too worried about it, you know, and there's just no way that BABIP is not going to continue at that rate. And so I think things will level out. So where we stand right now, it feels like this team is really clicking at times, but man, I mean, other than Sunday's game, the pitching Oh, the pitching. I guess we've already kind of discussed Arrieta's last few starts. Hendricks looked rough in his start previous to, you know, to this one. Travis Wood is not pitching well. The starters, even when the starters pitch well, the bullpen freaking sucks. So yeah. I don't know. I've decided to give up Coke, guys. It's just not good for my health.
Yeah. You should stop doing Coke. Yeah, the bullpen overall has been rough, and we've talked enough about, you know, Ramirez and Grimm going down kind of set it off, and they kind of got overworked a little bit. You know, you're starting to rely on guys like Brian Schlitter, which is never a good thing. So, you know, what started as one of the strong points, the bullpen has lately gone downhill, and really very lately has been even worse. And guys who before that were just sort of lights out have struggled. I think one of the biggest turnaround or, you know, flips has been Pedro Strop. I think in April, he didn't give up a single earned run. But since then, with the like end of that last Milwaukee series and then through the St. Louis series and then into this series, he's given up 6 earned runs just in that stretch. He has been a little better in his last couple outings, but, you know, he had a rough patch there. You could pretty much go down the line. I mean, Phil Koch had a rough outing yesterday, I think it was. Edwin Jackson has been horrific in May. Every time he gets in a sort of meaningful position, he seems to give up a lot of hits and a lot of runs. He gave up 3 yesterday. His ERA in May in 3 appearances is near 17, and that's in 2.2 innings pitched. So like I said, the high-pressure situations for Jackson haven't been good. Let's see, Rondon had been, you know, pretty much untouchable until Friday's game, and then he gave up 3 runs in the 9th, and you know, thankfully the Cubs didn't lose that game. They held on to win by 1, so... let's see, Ross Cup was really awful today, giving up those 2 home runs in the 7th.
He's had 3 rough outings in a row. Right.
Yep. So, I mean, like I said, you just pretty much go down the line.
Which I was feeling really good about Ross Cup before that.
Yeah, he had been better. You know, he'd been pretty decent before that. You know, and... I mean, thankfully, James Russell, he's only been in 4 games, but he's been decent in the 4 games he's been in. But it's hard to say James Russell's the highlight, but he's the only one that in the last 4 appearances has actually pitched pretty well. The rest of them have just gotten lit up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it hasn't been good lately. But I hope once the, you know, the injuries kind of go away, I think, you know, Grimm is back. Right? Is that right?
Yeah, he pitched back today. Yeah.
Yep. And then once Ramirez get back, hopefully they sort of level out. Guys are put in better situations rather than, you know, this is the only guy we have. So hopefully that'll be better. Because I think overall on paper it's still a good bullpen, but it hasn't been a good stretch.
No. And then when the pitching staff has done fairly well, like today's game, the offense just didn't give them enough to work with. And so it seems like some of this stuff has just been like bad timing too.
Sure. And a matter of putting together a complete game in all phases.
Yeah. But I think if you told me, you know, if you told me on opening day that on May 10th, the Cubs would be 500, in looking at the schedule that they played up to this point, I would be satisfied with that.
Yeah, I think you're right too. I mean, it's so easy to look at little blips, like little, you know, look at a series and be like, wow, that was terrible.
Or look at their numbers against the Brewers.
Right, because they're losing to the worst team in baseball.
Yeah, but I don't think the Brewers are as bad as their record has indicated.
They aren't, probably, but still.
They're not good, but they're not that bad. They're not like a 280 team or whatever.
I'm trying to agree with your point here, Corey. That it's easy to look at, like, you know, a 3-game stretch and talk about how bad they are. But as a whole, you know, you look at being 500 this late in the game. It's May, it's acceptable for me.
Yeah. So, do you guys have any comments on the game since that midweek episode? Anything you'd like to mention or talk about?
I want to say that they're on a, you know, they're on a rough stretch, and I think that people's expectations got blown out of proportion, and
yeah,
I'm not worried about it. They're going to have stretches this season where they go on a tear and they win a number of, you know, quite a number of games in a row, I'm sure. But with the team kind of developing its identity and figuring out, you know, we're figuring out what pieces belong, what pieces don't belong long term, it's still, you know, a process. And I'm not worried. Like, stretches like this, they do get me down a little bit, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't make me panic by any means.
Yeah, and I mean, other than like the blowouts, the games are losing that, okay, this sounded totally stupid. Besides the blowouts, the games are losing are pretty close.
Got to score runs to win. Yeah.
No, but I mean, like today's game, that could have gone either way. You know, I don't know. I guess, with after years of the Cubs really just getting destroyed all the time, I kind of take comfort in close losses, and sure. I look at like, okay, well, we were just a little bit, you know, short. We're just a little bit off, and you're right. As this team gels and comes together, I think then we'll see them kind of start clicking a little bit better. The one thing that kind of stood out to me was it was just really nice to see Madden's Respect 90 being the difference in Friday night's game. So the Cubs were up 6-3. Bryant had an infield hit, basically. I think he hit it to shortstop, I believe. And it was hustling to first base, and that allowed Russell to score. I think it was Russell. Was it Russell? I think it was. But Bryant was originally called out, and then the replay showed that he was safe. That made it 7-3, and then enter Cubs bullpen shenanigans in the ninth, and they ended up holding on 7-6. But, you know, when they were up 6-3, you didn't really expect that run would make a difference, but it definitely did. And I enjoy the hustle and the aggressiveness on the base paths. I've really enjoyed that this year.
I agree.
For sure. I mean, they totally always agree.
Hey, how did Coom Dog get on here?
I agree with you.
And Andy and I were just talking about how, like, now that stands out to us so much. Like, if I'm listening to the radio broadcast, as soon as he says it, it just, like, my ears perk up. You know, like, now that I'm aware of it.
I don't even want to get started on the whole radio broadcast with WBBM and what's going on over there, because I'll just talk too much. So I'm going to let it continue on the track we were.
Yeah, go ahead, Andy. You were about to say something.
Well, I was going to say that it was cool to see Chris Bryant finally hit a homer. I think that that was a good moment for him, just to kind of get that out of the way. And hopefully he still just continues what he was already doing, is just having some good discipline at bats and be willing to take walks and things like that, you know. So I hope it doesn't change anything other than the fact that I hope it opens the floodgates for more homers at times. But otherwise, man, I'm pleased with his play overall.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's nice to see him not sort of pressing for homers. And like the quality of his at-bats overall have just been amazing. You know, even when he strikes out, which he does occasionally, but he's, you know, he's not striking out after, you know, on three straight pitches.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good to see him work counts, but.
And seems to have a really good eye at the plate. You know, I can't remember if I was watching the TV broadcast or listening to radio. I think I was watching TV, it must have been Friday night's game. And they were talking about how, you know, just how Rizzo's eye at the plate is so insane. Like his ability to identify strikes. And then they were talking about how there's like a couple of, you know, called strikes, you know, kind of like look back at the ump and smirk or whatever. And then they'll pull up pitch tracks. And sure enough, it was like just barely off, you know. And it kind of seems like Bryant has, especially for a rookie, like an above average ability to kind of identify balls and strikes. And let's look at some questions here from listeners. I ask for these on Sunday mornings on Facebook and Twitter. And if you have our iOS app, you can email them in throughout the week through the app, or you can leave a voicemail directly through the app. As I said, do those at any time. Those get sent to me, and we will include those on the Sunday night episodes. So before we go through the questions, Jeremiah tweeted to us, and he said, hopefully there's a moratorium on are you worried about X young player questions, at least until the All-Star break.
Agreed.
Although I did say, are you worried about Arrieta? So we're Cubs fans. We just worry. the first one here is from Mike. He says, in honor of the franchise four, who are your top four Cubs, and which of the current Cubs do you think has the best chance of unseating someone on that list? If you're feeling adventurous, maybe expand it out to an all-time Cubs lineup, and who from the current team can crack that?
Is it okay? So I'm going to sound stupid on this, but top four Cubs, just meaning like who we think are the best of all time, or
I think that's what he means.
Okay.
Yeah. What's funny on
the franchise four,
right? So what's funny about this is that I was actually thinking about this very topic before I asked for listener questions this morning. Like I was trying to think of, like, you know, other than talking about the games that were going on and stuff, like what's kind of a bigger topic that we could discuss. And I actually thought about this one, so I was really pleased when it was the very first question asked.
So I did kind of like, I'm not going to get too adventurous, like you said, but I did kind of chip into it a little bit, and it's tough to say that any of these young guys could crack those top four. Cause here's my top four. You got Banks, you got Sandberg, Sano, Billy Williams. I don't know much about the really old school guys like Hartnett, but Hartnett could be in there. You know, any number of those guys. So those are your top four. It's tough to see any of these guys cracking it because, like, those guys played careers for the Cubs. You know, Banks played 19 years, Hartnett played 19 years, Sandberg 15, Sano 14, Billy played 16 years. Fergie played for a few teams, but played 10 with the Cubs. So, you know, Chris Bryant is a Scott Boras client. He's not going to be a Cub after he's a free agent. Maybe he is. Maybe it's different. But it's, you know, six and done. That's how that works now in the free agent market. So I just don't see it happening. I mean, I'm not saying Bryant won't be as good as any one of those players. It seems, you know, unlikely, but it could happen. But it's just not for me that he could chip into that franchise four with these guys who played decades with the same team. I just don't see it happening for me.
Well, I mean, could you see though, like Castro or Rizzo, once their team friendly contracts are up and they have different management, could you see them? I mean, could you guys see them signing another contract with the Cubs and, you know, the Cubs kind of making them Cubs for life?
I suppose it's possible. I just don't see the current free agent era being friendly.
You're right. It is
type of like, these are the best players
all time. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
But I hope it happens. I mean, Rizzo, I could see it most likely being Rizzo.
Not necessarily for performance reasons, but for the Cubs' ability to make them Cubs for life.
I think for both, really, because I think he's showing that he can be. I mean, he's one of the best first basemen in the league currently. If he continues on the pace he is right now, he could.
Yeah,
and he'll be 30 when he's done with his current contract. So, you know, I could see him getting another contract with the Cubs. That's not totally far fetched. Like
a 4-year deal out of that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I hope so.
When I was thinking about, you know, like my top four Cubs, you know, at first I was thinking, like, I don't know, mine were very initially very like 80s and 90s heavy. You know, I never got to see the legends play. I never got to see Ernie, Billy, Ron, Fergie. I didn't get to see any of those guys play. But if you're looking at WAR, the top four are Santo, Sandberg, Ernie Banks, and Billy Williams. Those are the top four position players. Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Kurt. I mean, kind of for a different reason. I think it's just way too hard to say. You know, the safe bet is that none of them will crack that list. I think it's a really interesting topic, but we're a month into Chris Bryant's and Addison Russell's careers. So who knows? You know, if we want to look at what Chris Bryant did in the minors and assume that he'll perform like that in the majors, which he won't, then yeah, he'll be on that list. As long as he remains a Cub and there's nothing that shortens his career. But if we had to pick one player to end up on that list from this group of current players, you think, and let's say it's, you know, as free agents, they all sign back with the Cubs. Let's just, for argument's sake, say that.
Hypotheticals.
Right. You still think Rizzo would be most likely?
Well, I guess if you're going to take the Scott Boras out of the equation, I suppose I would go Bryant then Rizzo maybe. But again, like you said, we're a month into Bryant, so it's really hard to make that call. But I don't know.
Right, like that ceiling is maybe there. I think he's going to be
really damn good, but it's hard to say.
Andy, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think Rizzo would be my guess.
Do you think? Okay.
I think it's hard to take Scott Boras out of the equation, to be honest.
It's impossible.
I'm sure Theo's trying to figure out ways to take Scott Boras out of the equation.
Sure, no doubt. No doubt.
As probably a lot of GMs are. Yeah. Interesting. I don't know. I wish we could talk. Like, I wish we could kind of go into a little bit more depth. It's just so hard, like we said, with some of the variables, I guess, right now on, you know, the free agency stuff and the fact that we're a month into their careers. It's just hard to look at it. But I think the potential could be there. I think that what it boils down to is that if everything went well, and something changed, and so these guys did stay Cubs for 50, you know, between 10 and 20 years, I think several of these guys could be, have the potential, the ceiling to be all time greats. You know, are they the top four in the history of the organization? I don't know, but I think they would have their name, you know, recognized as some of the greats. Of course, I've realized how stupid I say. I'm sure in 10 years I'll listen back to this and be like, "Oh God, what was I thinking?"
I'm
pretty sure
on
Felix
that.
PA could be one of the all time greats.
I mean, he's rough, but you know that lump of coal is going to be a diamond someday,
right? Jordan says, "What has been more disappointing so far, the rotation or the bullpen?" And he says, is it safe to say there will be no major pitching moves till next offseason?
No, I don't think it's safe to say that at all. I mean, I think if they're competitive, if they're within striking distance of making the playoffs, I don't think they're done by any means. But I would vote the bullpen as a bigger disappointment. But it's hard to say that without, you know, an asterisk and pointing out the injuries that they've had.
I second that.
Yeah, I think the bullpen too. I mean, this Cubs bullpen ranks before today, they ranked it's probably worse now. They ranked 24th out of 30 in ERA. They've had 11 save opportunities with 6 saves. I think there are definitely frustrating aspects to the starting rotation, but the bullpen has been pretty rough. And I think it's easy to be disappointed in the bullpen when they kind of like, when the bullpen frustrates you, it's because they've handed over a win after a decent performance by a starter or an offense, you know? So I think those are just naturally more frustrating losses.
Yeah.
But yeah. As far as Jordan's second question, I think the Cubs will I expect to see them strengthen both the rotation and the bullpen this season as we go along, especially if they're in contention, which it seems like they will be. I mean, I don't think the Cardinals are going to continue at this pace, but I think the Cubs will be in the mix for the wild card. And I think the front office will have options with pitching, and we're already seeing them kind of like tinker with the bullpen and try to, you know, we might see more scrap heap type guys brought in and then tossed aside after 3 days. Ed says, is it time for the Cubs to seriously consider Rafael Soriano? Seems to be an obvious fit for an obvious need. Also, do you think the Cubs are regretting not offering a little more money to James Shields?
Speaking of Scott Boras.
Yeah.
Soriano is a Boras client. So you're gonna pay way, you're gonna overpay for him, but I don't know. I don't know you guys try anymore. I mean, he's 35.
Right. So he's a free agent right now. And there have been rumors that teams are looking at him. My opinion is, and Andy, I'll let you weigh in, but my opinion is that we won't see him with the Cubs. Number one, like Kurt mentioned, he's a Boras client. And then number two, there's been reports that his clubhouse personality isn't the best. And we know that this front office really values, you know, a player's makeup. And if there's something that there's worth, if there's something worth being concerned about, I don't think you necessarily want to introduce that or even open up the risk with a really young team like this.
Yeah, let me pull a coom dog and say I would agree with that, Corey. I think that the Cubs are more likely to dip into options that they have in AAA before they go after a player like him. For example, like Tsuyoshi Wada could come up and have a stint in the bullpen, perhaps, and Blake Parker. Oh wait, never mind. They released him, but. I was just trying to look up CJ Edwards too. I was kind of wondering what's going down with him, but
well, I remember he hasn't been great.
Yeah.
He's, you know, in Double A Tennessee. I think he had an ERA between like 4 and 5 the last time I looked. So right. not dominant.
But you know, I mean, there's some other guys like Joe Ortiz. He's been with them, this season, you know, so there's some other options.
Yeah. And then as far as the Cubs not regretting not offering more money to James Shields, I don't think so. I think it's not about the push for 2015. You know, this team has been built and is being built to be sustainable. And I think that Shields' price tag went higher than they were willing to go. And they looked at some of the available pitching free agents this upcoming offseason, and they just decided to wait. And I don't think like the Cubs missing the playoffs by a couple of games this year, I don't think they're going to think like, well, we blew that opportunity. You know, I'm sure they would much prefer to be in the playoffs, and I'm sure that they don't want to miss out on that. But I don't think they're going to look at that and think, well, we blew it. We should have gotten.
Well, Shields. On the other side of it, I think the Cubs were really in on Shields, and I think according to him, the Cubs were number two.
Right.
So I think they made a respectable offer, and just got beat out. So, yeah, I think, and plus, given you know the free agent market of next offseason will be pretty intense. I think they made the wise choice.
Yeah, me too. Now, if it was if the push was 2015. Then, you know, we had a bunch of free agents that were going to be, you know, potentially leaving at the end of the year. Then, yeah, maybe you make that push for Shields and overpay a little bit. But I think in the position the Cubs are in, you don't do that. Bill says, when do you think the national media will wake up and recognize Anthony Rizzo as an elite player? Along those lines, what do you think they have been? Why do you think they have been unwilling to talk about him as an elite player?
Yeah, this is kind of baffling to me too. I don't have a great explanation for this question. Perhaps it's because he he's been a good player for a very short period of time. But I've always kind of wondered why he doesn't seem to get more attention and credit than he does.
Yeah, I would agree with you. no, I mean, he's proven himself. I mean, at this, you take last season and this season to start, that he's one of the top first basemen in the league. I don't quite understand it myself, but I think most teams would want a guy that this age and this good, so I don't quite understand it.
See, I think it'll happen. I think there's plenty of hype about this team, and he's going to get his attention, especially if they're in contention later into the season. I think that the Cubs are a story that the national media would love to obsess on. They would love this story. But I think one reason that he's kind of in lost in the mix right now is due to some of the other first basemen that are in the National League right now. Goldschmidt and Adrian Gonzalez, they both have higher WAR than Rizzo right now. Votto's right there in the mix too. So I think the attention with the Cubs right now is going to be on the prospects that I think it's, because Rizzo has been there. And I think national media has to have their storyline. And so to anybody, to the national media, and I'm talking like ESPN style national media, Fox News, sports, that type of stuff. Like they're going, what's that? Fox, they say Fox News, News Sport. Fox
Sport. The subdivision of Fox News. Not to be confused with Fox Sports.
Fox Sports. Like any of the Fox TV broadcasts and stuff like that. It's going to be, oh, the Cubs were so terrible, but they're great now. Gee, what's the difference between now and then? Oh, Joe Maddon, Chris Bryant, Addison Russell. Like, I just think those are the guys that are naturally going to get the attention this year. But I think that imagine if the Cubs get in the playoffs and Anthony Rizzo plays really well and is the difference in a game or two, then Rizzo will be identified as like the most valuable player on the team and stuff like that.
Well, and as they go forward and he has those better players surrounding him in the lineup, he's like being set up for success going forward and more notoriety. So I think we're only going to see the attention he gets increase.
Yeah,
I would agree. I think he's on the verge because MLB wants to promote guys like him. And he was on the cover. He was like the face of RBI baseball, that game app. So, and that was
it's not like he's totally flying under the radar.
Right. And that was chosen by MLB. So I think that they would love to see that story pushed.
Yeah. Yep. Jeremy from Phoenix, he says, so there's no way that Ross shouldn't be in the bullpen now, right? I mean, his inning yesterday was the best inning out of anyone in the bullpen in like 2 weeks. And he says, sadly, this is more serious than it should be. So there you go. There's the solution to the three catcher issue. You just move Ross to the bullpen.
He's your emergency.
And you have another pitcher that you can use as a pinch hitter. He can go two or three innings and he can bat.
He can bat? I didn't realize that.
Okay. Last time you said that, he hit a double off the wall. Go ahead. Keep saying that.
He's still going to hit four homers this season, you guys.
Right. At Jimbo_Rants, he says, can we trade Edwin Jackson for a live arm? And he said, what's Jason Kendall doing? Boy, if you want to know what Jason Kendall's doing, Andy's the guy to ask.
Well, I mean, were you talking about like a Dr. Frankenstein just like find an arm that's reanimated?
One preferably that can check over to first base.
Yeah, I love the idea of figuring out what Jason Kendall's doing. Bring him into the fold. Like he should be working for the front office.
Oh, get out.
But no, Edwin Jackson is not being traded for anything other than pay him to play for somebody else.
Yeah, at this point, the way he's pitched lately, you just have to think. It's almost like you watch what happened this weekend and you think, oh, that was probably his last game as a Cub. You know, like, it just feels like it, you're just waiting for that to happen now.
$13 million.
Yep.
I mean, you can talk a lot of crap about Jason Kendall, but the guy, he talk about giving you a disciplined at bat. I mean, the guy, God. Like he had a good eye for the zone and he didn't strike out a lot.
Jeez. Are you done, Andy?
No. And he was willing to take one for the team. I mean, he got hit by a pitches so much. I mean, he would just take it on the arm for the team.
That's good.
Anything else you want to?
No, let's move away from Jason Kendall.
Okay.
Jamie, who is at Jamenez on Twitter, says, can the Cubs trade the entire bullpen for some in-ear monitors for the seventh inning stretch guests?
okay.
I bet. You know, I've gotten to the point where...
I still
where,
hate the seventh inning stretch. I'll agree with him there.
I'll tell you this, though. I've gotten to the point now where if it's the middle of the seventh, I just flip it. I don't listen to it at all.
I mute it.
I don't know if I've heard one yet this year because I just have no interest in it.
I immediately mute it. I can't stand it. No,
It's been awful, but I don't mute it.
Jesus. I mute it because it makes me so angry, and I'm like, why would I ruin my day listening to this?
Start turning green. Wait a minute.
Keep going a little bit more, Kurt, and then I'm going to ask you about All-Star Game voting, fan voting.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think we're on the same page there. Yeah, the seventh inning stretch needs to go, and yes, Corey, All-Star voting in May. All-Star voting, but starting this early is just stupid. I basically everything you said on Wednesday's episode, just put my voice over it, and that's my opinion. that's like the only time I've ever said that. Everything Corey said, just repeat it. That's my opinion. It's fan voting. I hate it.
Yeah, keep going.
Once I got started, I couldn't stop. You've already said it.
Let's just get rid of the All-Star game. That's what you guys want, isn't it? You just want an All-Star game?
No. I just want real voting for the All-Stars instead of fans who don't know anything. We do muscle flexes on the fans who vote for the All-Star game. Right. How stupid these people are. And these are the people voting for the All-Star game.
Okay, well, that's a good point. But, I mean, if you guys could fix it, who should be voting? What, like coaches and players?
Sure. Or
writers or whatever. Yeah. I mean, make a big pool. I mean, it would still be...
I don't know. I guess I don't want Paul Sullivan writing, voting either, so...
But at least fans can vote as long as they submit an IQ test or something.
The other side of it is like that you can go in there and vote every day. It just makes the fan who's like obnoxiously involved in the internet, who's not me, just vote. And they end up getting like 50 votes, and I voted once, and I'm like, okay, that's enough.
Well, it's not even one vote a day. Don't you get like 25 votes a day or something like that? That's so stupid.
Doesn't it seem like the right players, though, mostly make it?
Well, I don't know. Why was Derek Jeter in there last year?
Well, okay, so I mean, occasionally one slips through, but I mean,
he was going to get in no matter who voted. Okay, that's not really...
Why don't they just take it by like stats?
Well, I don't think it should be totally mechanical, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be just open completely to the fans, Larry the Cable Guys of the world.
Okay, but
hey, well, speaking of Larry the Cable Guy, he's sitting there on our broadcast with us.
I'm wearing this hat, ironically, by the way. I do love Nebraska, but anyway.
But so, you haven't been hunting earlier today.
Okay, let's totally take it out of the hands of the fans. I'm soaked in dough urine. Let's take it out of the hands of the fans completely, even though mostly the right guys get selected. And so let's do everything we can to undermine, you know, baseball and its popularity. That's a good plan, guys.
It's still stupid, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. Let's start with this. Not 25 votes a day.
Yes.
How about let's
you
go.
Remember when you have to like fill out the bubbles that you got at the minor league baseball game?
That's what I was going to say. I remember sitting at a Subway.
Fill out the bubbles. You need a number two.
Yeah. Yes. I remember. I remember going to driving across the country and stopping in a Subway, like outside Kansas City, Missouri, and they had All-Star ballots there, and you could like there was a box you could put your ballot in there. So I sat there and ate lunch and filled out an All-Star ballot.
Filled out 20 of them. Yeah. A day he came back.
There just has to be a better way. We're not the ones providing the solution. We're just pointing out the problem.
Right. 25 votes a day is silly.
I tend to agree with you guys, but I just, you know, kind of wanted to play devil's advocate a little bit there.
Because that's what famous comedians do.
I would pull out a Larry the Cable Guy line, but I don't know any.
I don't either.
Other than Prilosec.
That's all I know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there we go.
And he was
Andy says all-star balloting, get her done.
Who do I vote today? Come on. Get her done. Tommy Listella, get her done.
Okay.
He could have more at bats in the All-Star game than he had all season.
Right. Okay, Mike, who is at Trekkie Bogle, says, will our bullpen be our undoing for the season? Is it too early to talk trade for bullpen help?
Yeah, I think so. I think you got to wait till they're back and healthy and back in stride and then start assessing. I think it's hard to assess from the point of injury.
Yeah, I say
wait.
Yeah, I'm not willing to say that they will be the undoing of the season, because I think they could, the bullpen could very easily get back under control and kind of stabilize.
Yeah, I mean, and it's still kind of intact with how we thought the roles were going to be with, you know, Rondon as closer and Strope as the setup guy, or at least one of the setup guys.
Right.
And so, yeah, and then Grimm's coming back, and it does seem like he's kind of being eased back into action. He pitched 0.2 innings today. And so I think we're going to see them kind of get back on track a little bit and have a stronger stretch here coming up. So, don't panic. I think that, you know, these guys can do it.
I would agree with you. But no, I do absolutely agree, because I think Ramirez is a pretty huge piece to lose. And so I think Ramirez comes back and all of a sudden you're one inning better. So I think that's easy to underestimate, because Strope has been good, and he just had a couple of rough outings, but overall Strope's been good.
I love that measurement. Your team is one inning better.
It is. Because okay, so my point in saying that is that's a nice ball there, Andy. Larry. My point is that you go Ramirez, you've got Strope, and then you've got Rondon. All three of those guys, up until Ramirez getting hurt, was a pretty good trio.
Right.
So
right.
You lose one of those three.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and my as point. It was initially, yeah, you're right. As the bullpen was initially set up, it seemed to be doing pretty well, at least for the few games that we were able to see it as it was originally designed.
And I think the thing that's easy to forget is that this is what bullpens do. I mean,
exactly. Yeah,
they're bullpens. They go through these stretches.
Yeah. In the chat, Taylor's in there, and he says, he's talking about All-Star games. He said pitchers with the most wins should make the All-Star game. Obviously saying that a little tongue in cheek. he said because wins are everything.
I think it should just be like the Yankees in the American League versus the Cardinals. The
Dodgers.
This is a Yankees-Cardinals game.
Yep. Let's just do that. That's what fan voting gets you.
Yeah. Yep. Justin is at JupBro on Twitter. He says, Have to touch on the bullpen and whether or not there's a fix. How much of the struggles is a result of pitching in new roles? So
yeah, and as far as the roles are concerned, I'm not sure exactly what he means by that. Other than, you know, you have like Edwin Jackson, who's used to being a starter in the bullpen, pitching in a different role, or perhaps, you know, you're getting some of these guys that are used to being in situations that aren't quite as high leverage situations as they've ended up pitching in. For example, Zach Roscup.
Right.
You know, if that's what he means by that, yeah, I think, you know, some of the struggles could be chalked up to, okay, now I'm in a much higher pressure situation.
Although not the case for Edwin Jackson. Because he was pretty much going to suck starter or bullpen.
I don't know. He was actually pitching okay in situations where it wasn't that vital that he pitched well.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Coke is another guy that kind of stands out that might be in that type of situation too.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think there is a fix, and the fix is getting a few, just kind of getting on a roll, you know, and I think an offense giving them a little bit more to work with and them getting healthy. I think that's the fix.
I think it's offense giving them more to work with and the starters going a little deeper in games as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a lot of people kind of like got upset about Madden pulling Hendricks from the game today when he only pitched 5 innings, I think, in today's game. And he had a shutout going and Madden pulled him.
Yeah.
I don't know what his pitch count was, but
I think it was around 90. We were watching it on the lovely 8.3 in the Quad Cities on my parents' TV. And so I got to see about every other pitch because it kept like going in and out, that digital weird thing. And
oh, they had the antenna going on.
Yeah. 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 So I think that's all the listener questions. And if I missed yours, I'm really sorry, but, those kind of come, throughout the day and through different channels and stuff. And I try to make sure I get them all. So hopefully I didn't miss it. If I did, I apologize. If you shop on Amazon, you can go to ivnv.com and click on the Amazon link. Amazon gives IVNV a percentage of their profits from your purchase. It doesn't cost you anything extra. Kurt, do you have a scary stat of the week for us?
I do. The month of May has not been kind to the Cubs. And so far they are 3-7, and 4 of those losses have come to the Brewers, and they've now lost 2 of 2 series against the Brewers, which, you know, even after beating the Cubs 4 of 6 times, they're still tied for the worst record in baseball. So that's a little hard to handle. But, you know, we kind of talked about that earlier. But yeah, May has not been off to a good start.
Yeah.
Thanks, but there's still a lot of May left to go.
Right, right. Yeah.
It's only the 10th.
All right. Well, let's read a few iTunes reviews real quick. We'll play a little Chuck Mangione over them. iTunes and Stitcher reviews help us with our searchability in those directories. And to show our appreciation, we will read your reviews here on the podcast. SB_Cubs5 says, great podcast, fun listen. And that person says, is there a better podcast out there? Don't ask me. I'm still looking. But these guys are pretty good. and then... GoCubbies09 says, excellent. This is by far the best Chicago Cubs podcast out there. The hosts keep you engaged with a variety of different viewpoints and analysis. I look forward to listening to it on my way to work Monday and Thursday mornings. In fact, sometimes I wish my drive was longer so I didn't have to wait for the drive home to finish the episode. So thank you to SB_Cubs5 and GoCubbies09 for those kind reviews. We appreciate it. So, internet muscle flexes. Do you guys have any flexes this week?
I have one.
I don't have any. I've been slacking on the flexing lately. Sorry. I don't have one.
It's all right. Andy, I'll leave it up to you. Do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first. My flex comes on the game where Chris Bryant hit his first home run. And here it is. The first commenter says, or one commenter says, the worst team in the MLB keeps making fools of us. And then so one person replies and says, yep. And another person replies and says, nope. I just kind of enjoyed that. I mean, it's kind of emblematic of, you know, Facebook comments and just internet posting in general.
Oh, man, that's good. Okay, so mine comes from the article entitled, For Hamill, Mother's Day, Not Enough to Celebrate Wife.
Oh, man. That headline stood out to me, too.
I started reading it. It was in the beautiful family photo that was posted.
Right. Okay, so again, title.
He celebrates her 365. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, title, again. For Hamill, Mother's Day, not enough to celebrate wife. The first person says, this first one that I have here says, how about we celebrate a win?
Well, Hamill marrying his wife was apparently a win. That's what we're celebrating.
Well, I don't know because, okay, here's my nuck. I have two separate entries for this one. This one, you mentioned marrying his wife may have been a win. If you just read this and didn't realize that the person was commenting on the game, you would think that this person does not feel that marrying Hamill's wife was a win because this commenter says, I don't know how he could swing at that. He was talking about the game, but...
So, okay, so you're gonna use the Kerry Muscat article about Hamill's wife to comment on the action in the game. I love that. That's incredible.
I don't know how he could swing at that. I loved it.
That's fantastic.
Oh man. So this episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. Patreon is like Kickstarter for content producers. A big thanks to our Hall of Fame level contributors, Jeremy, Dave, Dizzle, David, Dallas, Charles, Steven, Stewart, Jane, Cass, Tony, Shane, Michael, John, Andrew, Craig, Rick, Luke, and Tony. Our associate producers are Matt Macer, Anthony Hutfels, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Tim Marr, Jason in New Mexico, and Jason Nunn. If you enjoy our podcast, check out our Patreon campaign. Pledging levels start at $1 a month, and the perks get better as you go up. $1 a month helps us more than you would think. We put out 8 episodes of this podcast a month, plus 20 or so episodes of the Daily Northside Recap. So that's 30 installments per month from Ivy Envy. And if you can kick in $1 a month, it really does help. Patreon support has allowed us to do all sorts of upgrades and improvements to the podcast. If you've been listening to us for a while, you've seen these improvements happen. So go to patreon.com/IVMB. That's patreon.com/IVMB. Or you can go to IVMB.com and click on the Patreon link. The Cubs return to Wrigley for a 4-game series with the Mets this week. And then the Pirates come to Chicago for a weekend series. Andy and I will be back on Wednesday night with a new episode. And until then, go Cubs.
Who is this? Is this baseball? Who is this? Is this baseball? Is this baseball? Who is this? Is this baseball?